Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you in on this Thursday. For me, it's a Friday. I was informed I've been relegated to a vacation day, and Kerry Keating has been promoted.
Good for you.
What do you got tomorrow, Joe? What are your plans? Other than calling in and derailing whatever I have going at 8:15.
Well, I mean, I'm not calling. It'll be Eddie from Las Vegas, or perhaps Frank from Seattle, Ted from Boise. I'm sure you'll get right to that call. Nothing. It's the our first anniversaries this weekend. So we were originally planning on doing something, and you figure you take a couple days off here and there because not a lot of vacation planned. Turns out she's working, so I really got nothing. I might just come walking in here, and I might do a segment with you. I got nothing.
You're welcome.
I might bring the baby up. Maybe me and the baby will come in.
I like
we'll do a few minutes.
Do that.
We'll build the crowd up, and just when it gets to a fever pitch, I'll drop the microphone and just leave.
Man, bring little man. That'd be awesome, Joe.
Or I might just come in for the after-show meeting. I might just skip the show and just come in for the meeting.
Won't be seeing me.
Well, those meetings are the best part of the day.
Without a doubt.
A bunch of you guys on the line, 888-957-9570. The idea of relegation within the NBA in terms of how to improve the product. This coming on the heels of Mark Cuban's comments that once the Mavericks this season were out of playoff contention, they completely donked off the rest of the year. This is a problem because they're still charging you full price. We've got a couple other ideas in store for you. We're going to take your calls next. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
As the Warriors get set to head to San Antonio, Joe, some good news for Golden State Warrior fans. Bob Myers delivered that yesterday on the Afternoon Delight.
The more he's around, the better. Obviously, if he's coaching, that's the best case. Right now, he can't do it. He's doing what he can. He's going to San Antonio. He's going to go. Yeah, so that's okay. Encouraging.
Bob Myers on the news that Steve Kerr will make the trip to San Antonio. No official word if he'll be on the bench or if he'll be in the coach's office as he was for the first two games. Game 3, Saturday, 6 o'clock, right here on 95.7 The Game. Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1, goes to the Cavaliers, beating down Boston 117-104. LeBron James with 38. In the victory. Story number 2, the Giants win streak ends at the hands of Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. 6-1 the final. The Dodgers lefty wins his 20th career game against the Giants. Johnny Cueto takes the loss. The Giants are in St. Louis tomorrow. Story number 3, A's drop the finale of the series in Seattle to the Mariners. They end the road trip with a 1-5 record after losing 4-0. Yonder Alonso pulled from the game. Bob Melvin with the update.
Yeah, it was a left knee irritation. He did it swinging. Kind of got his legs stuck in the ground a little bit as he was kind of going after a ball away. Didn't think a whole lot of it, and then went out in the field, and then when the pop-up was hit, made a quick movement to go get it, and didn't feel good, so we took him out.
He was out. Sonny Gray will be in starting tonight. His 100th game of his career. Boston is in town. The A's back at the Coliseum. The Dugout Show, 6:15 here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Capital Chevy. Get special factory incentives plus epic no-brainer deals. Shop 4,000 vehicles online at the DGDG.com Memorial Day sales event. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. Back on the floor Saturday right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. We're trying to solve the problem of tanking, specifically as it pertains to the NBA. Dibs has floated the idea of relegation in the past because it's used in the European Premier League and throughout European soccer. Problem is, we don't have a second or third league. So we kicked around the concept of maybe taking the NBA and splitting it. 22 teams in a league that's allowed to play for the title, 8 teams that have been relegated. They don't have the chance to play for the title. You still have a similar schedule in place. Everyone will play one another. So if you're a Sixer fan or a Nets fan, you'll see Golden State come to town once a year. You'll still get to see the big boys. You can still show up, but the tickets won't be as much because you can't play for a title. And you will continue to sit there until you find a way to win. At the very least, at the end of the season, teams will be working to avoid those final 6 to 8 spots. Joe in San Francisco. Did I just call myself? Is that what this is? Joe in San Francisco, thanks for calling the show. Go ahead. Well, I guess I have to talk if I called myself.
Yeah, Joe, you got to talk.
Joe in San Francisco, is he there? He dropped off. All right, Mike in San Francisco. Go ahead.
Hey, Joe. Guys, I was going to think, I think if you pick in the lottery 2 years in a row, top five, you automatically got to pick 10 through 14. Because all these teams like Lakers, they're picking top five 2-3 years in a row. So that'll help prevent some teams from, like, you know, at least tanking a little bit.
I like the concept, and you're right, and thank you for the call, Mike, because we just kind of started kicking this around. You would have to tweak the draft. Bad teams need a higher spot, but if you get two top five picks in a row, I don't mind that idea right there. You got an opportunity to make it rain, hire good personnel people, good scouts, grab a couple good players, and then if you still can't climb out, see ya. You don't have another opportunity there. Dibs, your thoughts on that, tweaking the draft to that extent?
I like that. I mean, if you're so bad that you have to be in the top five 2 years in a row, then you have to get bounced out. I think they should do away with the NBA draft lottery in particular, and they should no longer award or reward the team that comes in last place with the number one overall pick. It shouldn't be the team that just misses the playoffs either. How about the team in the middle of those groups? A team that clearly competed but wasn't the worst team in the league. So the team that would be, I guess, the 24th best team, give them the number one overall selection and then work the draft out from there. So if you have the worst record in the league, you still get a decent pick, fifth or sixth, but you don't get rewarded with the number one pick.
I like that. I like that philosophy because now teams like Chicago, teams like Milwaukee, teams that are, you know, the ninth seed and whatever, now those teams have a better opportunity to make it to the top. You're right. That's where you're building up the league in the middle of the pack and to the top. And then, yeah, you still get the bottom tier guys. They still have a five through 10. But this way, you're letting the NBA get better with those mid-range teams, those teams that are in the middle of the pack. Now they're going to be able to compete with the upper echelon teams. I like that philosophy a lot better than what we have now.
Bill James, the godfather of sabermetrics in Major League Baseball, he now works with the Boston Red Sox, is going to join us in about 7 minutes at 7:15. Steinmetz is going to swing by to talk NBA at 7:30. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Here's another concept. You want to take the convoluted nature of, and this would be very difficult to do with the union, but if you want to take the convoluted nature of relegation and all these concepts out of play, and you want to get competition from start to finish, you have to look at the driving factor for everyone involved. What is the single greatest motivator in this country?
Money.
Money. Maybe not for everyone, but for more than anyone else. Money is the driving factor. Money is the motivator. It's not necessarily greed. It's just everyone aspires to improve their lot in life. And a lot of times that's equated to money, finances, your financial position. If you could create a way, and again, the union is going to be completely against this, but the owners would have to take a hit on this too. You create a way in which every single contract is a split contract based on wins and losses. You will get maximum competition night in and night out. What I mean by that is this. Look at it like the Pro Bowl. And these numbers aren't exact, but every contract gives you 65% of your daily pay for a win, 35% for a loss. So either way, you're getting paid. But here's how it would work. If a guy's making $20 million a year, an 82-game regular season, that divides down to $243,000 per game. $243,000 per game. However, you lose that game, you're only getting 35%. You're getting $97,000. You win that game, you get 65%. $146,000. Everybody's operating on split contracts. So for those who want to make more money, and that might not seem like a lot. That's about $50,000 right there. You might think, I'll take the night off. It's only $50,000 in the grand scheme of $20 million. You lose 60 games. You multiply that 65% versus 35% over 60 losses. You play for the New York Knicks. You know what Carmelo Anthony's making? You know what the guys on the Sixers are making? You know what the Lakers just made this past year? Your contract drops precipitously. Wow. You actually have reached a scenario here where you're going to be forcing individuals to give it their all every single night. How difficult, how do you like that idea versus relegation, Dibs?
I don't like it because it's too cutthroat, and you're putting too much pressure on the officials, and I think you're going to lead to a much more edgy product when you've got guys literally playing for the shirt on their back. Guys who are making $512,000, Patrick McCaw is making a little more than that, but a guy like Damian Jones, or if you're the 13th player on the roster and you're not even getting to play, and yet your contract is contingent on whether or not Draymond Green is hitting the three ball at night, that's going to be a tough one, I think, for lesser players down the roster.
If it's $1 million a year and you lose every single game and you only get 35% of that contract, that's still $350,000. I'll take that to sit for 82 games a year versus having to go through college and work my way up into middle management at an accounting firm or something like that.
No,
would you?
You're right. You're right. I'm not saying that.
You make a great point. It's still a pretty damn good living.
It is. It is. But I think that the product itself would be tainted by that too much, because players would be, I think players would be playing in a different way. There'd be more cutthroat kind of play, and more guys would be getting stepped under on jumpers, that's for sure. You think that the Zaza Kawhi Leonard play was dirty? You're going to see a lot more dirty plays than that when you've got 200 grand on the line on a Wednesday night in Orlando.
Lo, you laid it out every single game you played during your career. That's just who you were. Every player that we've had on that's played with you or against you has said the same thing. Ultimate competitor. And that year in Cincinnati proves it. You kept going at it with Corey Dillon all year, despite the fact that that team was terrible. But you've played with plenty of guys who would probably be quite motivated by this system, would they not?
Oh, everyone would be motivated by it. From the guys who works hard, extremely hard, extra hard, would work even that much more harder. Because you're like, dude, and I think that you would have a true sense of brotherhood even more. Because of the fact that now guys are going to be at one another's throat, guys are going, no, man, you got to play better. I think it'd be testy. I don't think it'd work, because I think you'll see guys fighting one another. I think it'd really turn bad because of the fact, Joe, I'd be in guys' face anyway, but now you're messing with my money. Two things you don't mess with: a man's woman and his money. So you think about it like that, it's gonna make guys more testier, and I agree with Dibs, you see more injuries, but it would get a better product. I think the best way, instead of tanking, I think you're right, Dibs, if you have these teams that are in the middle of the pack, that's how you determine who gets the best draft pick. You'll see everyone competing more because of the fact now the teams are in the middle trying to get that number one pick. They're going to continue to fight to try to stay above average and not sink down to the bottom, because then you're going to be picking from 5 to 10 instead of 1 through 5.
It's what we did in our old rotisserie baseball league back in the day. We used to give the last place team the ability to have the most keepers. That way, if you struggled, you could bounce back. But what we found is guys were tanking the rotisserie baseball season to get 12 keepers, so you'd get the most low-priced bargain guys for the next year. You come back the next year and win it. So we started doing, I think it was a 12-team league. The top four places paid out. So if you finished in eighth, you got the most keepers. And then seventh place and ninth place, and then sixth place and tenth place. And you kind of moved your way out that way. And so the team that was the most mediocre got rewarded the most.
Ideally, you want a system that rewards success and punishes failure. That's what this was all set up to do. You win, you get playoff games, extra revenue, Super Bowl, championship, marketability, all that. You lose, your attendance drops, fewer people are paying attention to you, fewer contracts. It goes on and on, right? The problem is that we're incentivizing both ends of the spectrum. You're obviously incentivized to win because it can lead to a title and big-time money through TV revenue and all that other stuff. But if you lose, the bottom end of the spectrum is at least incentivized with the number one overall pick. And that's why the teams that are trapped in the middle are the ones that can never go anywhere. That's why the Knicks have been where they've been for more than a decade, right? Because they're not the absolute worst,
right,
but they're not good enough to be at the top of the list. And that's the problem. They're not incentivized to tank off yet. The Lakers are doing their tank. The Sixers have done their tank. But that's the problem. You should be rewarding the success, punishing the failure. The problem is the bottom of the equation is now getting rewarded for tanking.
Think about it.
That's what leads to the problem.
The Miami Heat now would have been getting a great pick this year, because they would have been right in the
middle. Look at them. And they just missed the playoffs. They're in the worst possible position.
Yes.
Missed the playoffs and the worst of the lottery picks.
And that's where you're going to incentivize these teams to now work harder. So I believe this would solve a lot of the problems, because every game is going to really mean something, because you're like, man, I got to get in that middle. I at least got to stay in the middle. At least you know you're not going to be heading trending where guys aren't trying.
Matt Steinmetz set to join us in about 15 minutes. Joe Lowen-Dibs, 95.7 The Game. He is the senior advisor on baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox, author of the Bill James Handbook, and the father of sabermetrics in baseball. Bill James with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bill, good morning. We've been very interested in having you on for quite some time. It's a treat. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's an absolute pleasure. We appreciate your time. Let's start with your team, the Boston Red Sox, this season. Chris Sale, not a bad acquisition from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, he's pitched about as well as you can possibly pitch. I think he's struck out 10 or more batters every start all year, it seems like. Has been extremely impressive both on the field and off. He's been great.
How surprised are you with the fast start by the New York Yankees? Many thought that the Yankees could still be a year away, yet they've been pretty impressive so far in the East.
Extremely impressive, yeah, and I couldn't be any more surprised. I thought some more of the young players would struggle and that it would take at least a year to put it together, but they're there.
What do you think the Yankees need to do? You think they're going to be buyers or sellers? You hear what Steinbrenner's thinking, if they're going to continue to compete. And if we got a guy here in the Bay, John T. Cueto, one of the pitchers there, is he a guy that you think the Yankees would be even interested in?
Last year the Yankees played really badly until the trade deadline. They reached the trade deadline, sold off everything they could sell off, and then they were great the last 2 months. Sometimes it works that way. I think they will be buyers, and I think they will be in the market for any surprise pitchers that pop up, like the guy you mentioned. Sometimes that helps you, and sometimes it really doesn't.
The great Bill James with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The Sox getting ready to do battle with the local team here, the Oakland Athletics. Sonny Gray back in the fold after missing the start of the season with an injury. The team, the fan base, very much hoping he can bounce back from what plagued him last year. As you evaluate a player like Sonny Gray, has he already reached his peak and now he's going to be plagued by these issues the rest of the way? Or is he a player that just needs to figure maybe one or two things out and he can get back to that form?
I think if he gets back to where he's 100% physically and has made 8 or 10 starts and is in rhythm, I think he'll be as good as he ever was.
Bill James with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. There's a trend that's developing in baseball where guys like George Springer, Kyle Schwarber, power hitters are moving to the top of the lineup. Traditionally in the 3, 4, 5 holes, you're seeing guys like Brandon Belt hit second and, like I said, Springer hit first. What do you think about the trend of putting the power guys up in a spot that was usually reserved for the speedy on-base type players?
Well, those guys have to go somewhere. Modern teams are just wall-to-wall power. I mean, the teams of my youth, which was a long, long, long time ago, but teams of years ago had a mix of power hitters and guys who concentrated on getting on base. But modern teams are just wall-to-wall power. You know, you run out of spots to put power hitters, and basically we reached a point at which the only place to put another power hitter is put in the leadoff spot. Do I like it? I wouldn't say so. I think it's – but you know, it's the game we have at the moment.
Is this just a boomerang effect, Bill? And I think about basketball in that now it's such a 3-point shot heavy game, and it seems like baseball is really slanted offensively toward wanting the home run, even though the looming threat of the strikeout is even greater than ever. Do you think that baseball will ever get back to a point where it's small ball hitting and running and going station to station?
Not in the next 5 years, but yes, I do. I think eventually they will. I believe that a hitter of the Ichiro type, a hitter like Tony Gwynn or Carew, a guy who does not have a quick bat, a guy who just drags the bat through the strike zone but makes contact, I think he's helping the team more than a guy who hits 25, 30 home runs but strikes out 200 times. That's my opinion. Baseball has gone in the opposite direction. I think eventually they'll switch back, but I don't think it's going to be sudden.
How impressed are you then by a player like Jose Altuve, who had a 4-hit game, 2 doubles, 2 triples, batting .373, and simply is an offensive firepower?
Oh yeah! Plus, he's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, a little bitty guy with great energy and plays with a smile on his face. He's tremendous. I was going to say I wish we had more of him. It's not true. But if you had more of him, you wouldn't appreciate him so much. But he's a fun player.
Bill James with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A lot of astronomical numbers have been thrown out there when we talk about the free agent class of 2018. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. What do you think a deal for one of those two is eventually going to look like? Dare we say it could eclipse $400 million?
You said it. I didn't. Then I work for a team. We're hoping to get one of those guys for maybe $20 million, you know?
Now, you would really be a numbers guy then, Bill, if you were able to get him in for just $20 million. Bill, what do you think of this whole movement about numbers and sabermetrics in baseball? As you look back on being really the godfather of the movement, now you have thousands upon thousands of people really in your flock, like it or not. You are really the godfather of the movement. Is it pride in how far this has gone, or what feelings do you have about the way numbers have overtaken baseball?
Well, mixed, I suppose. I mean, certainly I'm pleased to be given the credit I am given, sometimes fairly and sometimes unnecessarily, for things that have happened. Not all of the new numbers are necessarily meaningful. There are an awful lot of them, and I think some of them are only catching attention because they are new and people haven't really figured out yet that they don't tell you anything if the old numbers didn't tell you. We have lots of data to work with anymore.
Bill, I'm one of those guys, the old school, having played in the NFL for 16 years, and we had it, for us it was called scouting report. You got 30% the team would run to the right, 40% they're going to be paying this type of coverage. And you look at the analytics and the numbers, isn't it some similar or the same? What is the difference? Now you have defensive shifts and seeing that sometimes teams that shift the most, not necessarily wins the most, and antiquated to winning. So why the change in the name? Isn't it still scouting because you're getting the numbers and saying what the percentage of which these individuals do?
What scouting does and what analytics do overlap to a large extent. I would agree with that. What analytics really is just watching games carefully, but whereas the scout watches the games and makes generalizations about them, the analyst records every event and makes generalizations about the record. No scout sees every event, whereas the analytics see every event. So there are advantages that go both ways.
He's a senior advisor on baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox, author of the Bill James Handbook, and the father of sabermetrics, Bill James, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bill, thank you so much for your time this morning. Very insightful. We appreciate it, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me on, guys.
Thank you, Bill. That is the one guy you don't want to be in a fantasy baseball league with.
He knows a little bit about the game.
You think?
Oh, my goodness. What's the likelihood the A's are able to get anything going this weekend against the Red Sox? I mean, just last week we sat there. We did an entire breakdown of the schedule for the rest of the month. If they were able to go, I think it was 10-8 or something, they could have been a 500 club at the start of June. And they just dropped 5 of 6 to 2 bottom feeders. I mean, what are we supposed to expect? They almost got no hit last night. You got Chris Sale on Friday night, who's had 10 or more strikeouts in like 7 straight starts this season. Like, what would you even expect in that game tomorrow night?
It's going to be trouble. An A's team that leads the major leagues in errors, that's for one thing. So you got to button up the defense for sure. You're a team that strikes out. I think you're in the top 5 in strikeouts in Major League Baseball. So against Sale, it's not a recipe for success, but you focus on tonight. You try to get tonight. You're much better at home than you are on the road. You've been dreadful on the road. You think in terms of a split. If you can just split 4 games from Boston, you've got the Marlins in for 2, a 3-3 homestand at the very least. Maybe you go 4-2 and you grab a couple back toward 500, and then you head back out on the road, and you try to just be better away from the Coliseum.
Perhaps if it's not going your way, you just start stepping in the pitches like Roger Dorn.
Maybe.
Because I don't really know what the strategy is moving forward. You just lost 5 of 6 to Texas and Seattle. Those two teams stink.
And sometimes you're a young team, Joe, and you look at the record and you say, man, we're right in this thing. Okay, these are games we pose a win, and you're still young, and you don't understand that what you have to still put into it. And I think that's where the skipper and Bob Melvin, we got to trust him. He's going to get these guys to understand the importance of, even when you're playing a lesser opponent in a team that on paper and statistically you pose a beat and you go out and lay the egg, sometimes it's just lack of detail, lack of mental capacity to go out and say, I'm going to play with the same vigor that I've been playing with. And I think sometimes you see that sometimes with younger teams, because the A's were heading and trending and seemed like in the right direction.
14 years in the NBA, and he looks like he's at his absolute peak now. LeBron James is going to be a major problem. Just how big a problem? We'll find out from Matt Steinmetz next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He's our NBA insider, and he co-hosts virtually everything around here. Warriors warm-up, Warriors wrap-up, NBA This Week. Follow him on Twitter, at SteinmetzNBA. It's Matt Steinmetz with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Steiny, good morning. LeBron and the Cavs, they looked pretty good last night.
Hold on one second, Joe. I just wanted to say goodbye to my daughter. All right. Cavs are good. They're good. We got it, We're looking forward to a Cavs-Warriors final. I mean, about it.
Let's go ahead and work on the connection real quick.
Yes, Stan, we got a little bit of a rough connection. Go ahead and walk her out to the curb and see if there's better reception out there in the front of the Steinmetz Manor.
Warriors' next game is going to be Saturday night, Game 3 in San Antonio, 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Come Monday, Klena Azubuike will be in studio from 7 to 8. And that is always brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink, a potassium-packed, natural-flavored premium sports drink that tastes great. Klay Thompson's favorites are strawberry banana and orange mango. Head to Safeway and make the switch to Body Armor Sports Drink now. You guys went golfing with Klena yesterday.
Yes, we did, yeah.
Now, he's new to the game, Dips.
Fresh.
So for a newbie, how'd he look?
He looked all right. He looked all right. Hit some good shots, hit some bad shots, struggled a little bit. Presidio, very challenging course for anybody, but especially for somebody who hasn't played much and who's never played out there.
Steinmetz is back, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Steiny, I'll just kick it right back off where we started. LeBron and the Cavs looked like an absolute juggernaut against the Celtics last night. How long do you see that series lasting?
Five. I see it lasting five, although I got to tell you, I'm about 0-6 in my predictions in terms of getting the games right.
You're due.
Well, I think what's most important, obviously, is that the Cavs and the Warriors are on a collision course. And that's what everybody wants to see. I don't think anybody wants anything to get in the way of that. I know I don't. I mean, I would like to see Kawhi Leonard healthy and see the Warriors be able to handle a healthy Spurs team. I'm not saying they can't, but they may not have to. And so let's anticipate this finals, because I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be great because it wasn't long ago that everybody was saying the Cavaliers weren't playing well. They had the worst defense in the NBA since the All-Star break besides the Lakers. And I think now, if you look back at it clearly, it's a team that they can wait till the playoffs to get it going. And that's exactly what they did.
And LeBron is now an absolute freight train going to the hoop that can't be stopped. He looks unbeatable. You mentioned Kawhi Leonard, Steiny. Where do you fall on the Zaza Pachulia undercut drama that took place over the weekend?
I'm half and half, kind of. I don't think it was a dirty play. I don't necessarily think Pachulia is a dirty player, but he is a player who puts himself in those kind of positions more than other players. I didn't like that he ran through. I mean, my whole thing is, when you're going out to contest a shot and you know you're not going to be able to block it, I just feel like you got to stop short. And he kind of ran right through. You either have to stop short or you have to veer off just a hair to the left or the right. He just didn't do it. And so it was an obvious foul. The question is, you know, why doesn't he just pull up a little bit there? But, you know, stuff happens. You know, but similarly, I didn't think Aldridge, you know, I heard Kalena yesterday saying he thought Aldridge's looked more unnatural. It's funny how you can, you know, people can see the same thing and differ. I didn't really see an unnatural thing with Aldridge. I saw a big guy doing a jab step and getting fooled and then realizing, oh, maybe let me get out there one more step and make it seem like I'm contesting. So I'm not extreme in either way, really.
Steiny, I'm watching these series and I watched the Dubs absolutely motorboat, the other day, San Antonio. And then you saw the Cavs last night just kind of motorboat. Is this good for basketball, the NBA? I understand the finals are going to be anticipated and you can't wait to watch them. But to be honest with you, Steiny, I checked out of both the ball clubs by third quarter. It's just it was a rout. And if you're not a fan of the Dubs, and if you're not a fan of the Cavs, does those type of games give you stability that you want to really watch it? If you're not an analyst, do you really want to watch these type of matchups for four quarters when the games are decided by halftime?
I think you got to be a real basketball fan to hang in there, Lo, to tell you the truth. I think maybe, if you're a sports fan that likes all the sports, maybe you like football more, I hear you. I don't know that I could stay with it, too. I think hardcore basketball fans don't really have a problem with it. But I agree, it hasn't been a great postseason. And I'll take it a step further. I was thinking about this the other day. Last night, as I walked down the street to grab a bite to eat at my local sports bar, the Warriors sweeping like this it's like affecting the bottom line of sports bars. I mean, they're losing games. Talk to my boy Kenny, and I mean, they've already lost six games that they possibly could have had. So when you start thinking about, television ratings and, last year the sports bar scene around Oakland was incredible, and now they got to wait till Saturday. It is a little choppy, no doubt about it.
Matt Steinmetz with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The lottery was the other night. Boston gets the number one overall pick. What would you do in that situation if you're Danny Ainge? This is a deep draft class, but it's deep with point guards, and that's someone they already have. Would you think about flipping that pick? And then part B, would you think about making it well known that you're going to take Lonzo Ball if you draft anybody in the hopes of getting Los Angeles to swing a trade with you?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt you got to milk something out of the Lakers. Now, it's fascinating to me because what if Danny Ainge really does think Ball is the best player in the draft? He might just go draft Ball. But if he doesn't, he's got to make people think he loves Ball. You're right. I think he's in a position where it's not just the Lakers. He can deal with every team because everybody knows he's willing to make a deal. So in theory, any team could move up to number one to get Ball. And so the Lakers are now in a position where if they really want him, they almost have to protect themselves by either flip-flopping picks with Boston and giving them something or, making a deal with them drafting Ball, and then you make a trade after. But it is fascinating. I'll tell you what, you got to give Danny Ainge credit for what he's done. Now, they've gotten some breaks. I mean, that's part of it when you get the number one pick and nobody knows that it's going to be assured. But, man, when you start thinking about where they are now, the number one pick and $30 million in cap space, I think this team's going to look much different next year. I'm looking at their team now. I mean, I like it. I like Bradley, Isaiah Thomas. I like a little bit. I don't know. Isaiah Thomas, though, to me, in a little way, reminds me of Westbrook or Harden. And I don't know that you can win like that anymore in the NBA or, the big championship. So I think Danny Ainge may I don't want to say break it up, but I could see two more different kind of pieces there.
Matt Steinmetz with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Catch him on Warriors Warm-Up, Warriors Wrap-Up, NBA This Week. You can also catch him in Afternoon Drive quite a bit on this program, or on this station, I should say. Steiny, thank you so much for your time this morning. We'll catch up with you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one, man.
All right. Well, it's one of the big topics that has been discussed all offseason as it pertains to the silver and black. What would a new contract for Derek Carr look like? His side has one thought. The Raiders apparently have another because, according to a latest report, Derek Carr is starting to grow frustrated with the process. We're going to hit on that next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Which version is this? Is this Lord Tyreek and Peter Guns? Nicely done. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Great to have you in on this Thursday. I always say that. What if I came in and I say, it's terrible to have you listening to us today? It's just terrible.
At least you'd be honest.
Yeah. Some people would appreciate that.
Wow,
90%
Dibs
would be like, forget this guy.
At least Fort and Bob would be keeping it real.
Yeah. Whoa.
Keeping it 100.
Whoa.
Penske Auto Sales text line, 95795. Fort and Bob keeping it 100.
And this, by the way, is Steely Dan. This is not whatever you said it was. They may have ripped off the beat.
Uptown, Lord Tyreek and Peter Guns.
Holy. Incorrect. Steely Dan,
Ooh,
kids,
Dibs
you whippersnappers.
Kind of going a little bit here right now.
Well, I know there's multiple versions of this beat. Steely Dan originally. Yeah. I just wasn't sure which version the boys in the back
were
playing.
You're right, Joe.
You got me running hot, Joe.
What you're trying to do over there, Lo, is just provoke. You in your white pants.
I know, seriously. Hope you don't.
It's not Memorial Day yet, buddy. You can't wear white pants until Memorial Day.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it's 100% true. You don't wear white after Labor Day.
That's kind of gone out, actually. Yeah. Not going to lie.
Has it?
Yes.
Yes.
It has.
Step
okay.
up,
you want to break the rules a little bit with fashion. It's all good.
You're She's all good, just bro. Stepping in to defend you, and it's very nice of her to do that. But the rule is no white outside of Labor Day.
Yeah, but when it's sunny here in California, you're a little, you've gotten to get a little.
Well, every day you're wearing white. Pretty. I don't say nothing about it. Boom, waves in your face.
It's genetic. It's more a shade of pasty.
Yeah, well, you like
all right, that's on
man.
Me. It got away from me. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Here's what we got cooking. The Raiders have been trending in the right direction for a few years now. This has been welcomed. And most importantly of all, they have found their franchise quarterback. This, year in and year out, is proving to be more and more difficult for teams around the league. They've got their guy. And now we are on the verge of that long-term first-class contract that puts Derek Carr in that rarefied air, that puts Oakland Raider fans, the team in general, in that rarefied air. You've got the most important piece. Now it's time to take the big step towards winning a title. Problem, however, the hope was that both sides could reach an agreement before the start of the season. Start of the season's a long way off. But the report from Michael Silver of NFL Network just recently that Derek Carr is growing frustrated with the process. Now, I started tracking this on social media to see the reaction of Raider Nation, and frustration broke out. Naturally so. You want to hear that this guy gets his deal and you want to move forward. Dibs, level of concern here about a report like this. When you see a headline in mid-May that says Derek Carr growing frustrated with contract talks, level of concern, 0 to 5, 5 being very, very concerned.
0.666666.
Beautiful.
Not even a 1, Joe. It's mid-May, and this is not Derek Carr saying it. This is a report from Carr Camp. It could be his agent. It could be Carr. It could be Carr's brother. But you're not hearing him speak into a microphone and say, I am frustrated with the Raiders in negotiations. If those words come out of his mouth and you see it, then my concern goes up to about a 2 or 2.5. But until we get to that point, I know Reggie McKenzie is going to be on the station today at 11:30 with JT the Brick, right before Speed Brick.
Speed McKenzie.
Right before Speed Brick.
Speed General Manager.
You're going to get answers at 11:30 today. And
Speed.
I think Reggie will give you an idea that there are negotiations that have
Easy
at least started.
Pants.
And have gone on. So, Joe, I'm not concerned at this juncture. It is a little bit troubling that this hasn't gotten done yet. But remember, it is May 18th. We got a long way to go before this thing even becomes a story.
Lo, you've been in this business realm before. You know how this works. Is this just the back and forth? Are we on the verge in the next few days of hearing a report that the Raiders are growing frustrated with Carr's demands?
Well, I think you may, Joe, and here's the thing. It's April showers, May flowers. It's supposed to be flowers, Dibs, and he's supposed to get this contract. Here's what the Raiders have to be careful of.
Yeah. Dibs, you idiot. You didn't know that?
I didn't know I was doing radio with Willie Stretch McCovey. Stretch.
Stretch.
Totally. You guys know I'm good. I'm feeling good. But anyways, as I digest, if you think about, just look at everything what's going on. Going to Vegas. Not a place that a lot of people think that the Raiders should go. Not a lot of place that everyone's saying in the media. Is this the best place to put young men with a lot of money in Sin City? The answer's probably no. And then you think about Carr, who he is, his background. Not that he can't handle it because this guy's going to be a leader. And you see you need him even more so now than ever, especially with the move that's coming up in some years. But if you think about what's going on, you say, is he going frustrated? Do you trust David? Do you trust Derek? Even though Derek's his brother, you think about his brother, he's not a guy that's going to lie. If he's talking to his brother about it, his brother's like, man, I'm disappointed. If he hear, if you hear the information from his family, don't you think that it may be a little bit of truth to that? Because his brother and him, they have a great relationship. Here's the thing that the Raiders have to be careful about, because now if you look at what's going on in L.A. now, the L.A. Chargers, you have an aging quarterback in Phillip Rivers. His agent and his negotiation should be, if I'm Carr, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'll play this 1 year. And Art Klein says now he's going to play this year, but he's already thinking about L.A.
This is the final year of his deal. So if he would play this out with nothing else, the Raiders are resigned solely to giving him a monster contract extension or the franchise tag.
Right. So you put it, he's in the driver's seat because Phillip's in year 15, 16, and you look at Carr now, L.A.'s 45 to an hour, 20 minutes from Bakersfield. So when you think about it, now he's not having to go to Vegas. Here's a guy that can be like, hey, you know what? I want to stay in California. I want to, you know what? I don't necessarily want to go to Vegas. And if they're not going to overpay me for the things that I bring to the table, leadership, commitment, all the things that they wish they had in other quarterbacks that they had here before him, and think about what he means to this organization. You overpay a guy like Carr, and his agent can say, this guy got hurt last year. You saw what happened when you didn't have him in playoffs. So we don't want to jeopardize. He wants some security. He doesn't want to jeopardize going out on the field because he's a guy that's going to lay it on the line. And what if he get injured again? His marketing power and his bargaining power diminished. So I think that there is a little truth to this.
From the 650 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, he might want to hold off until after they move to Vegas to get that tax break. A lot of people have suggested that. Yeah, it'd be a great tax break. But you're not going to hold off for 4 years, three, 4 years. That's a lot of money you're leaving
injured
on the table.
Absolutely.
Take what you can get now. Get what you can get now. The 3 years that I was in law school from 03 to 06 down in San Diego, I was interning for an NFL agent. That's originally what I wanted to do. Mostly low-level stuff, but I got to see the inner workings of how stuff like this works. And I can tell you firsthand how both sides are going to approach this. First of all, no deal ever gets done until you're up against a deadline. Right? And they kind of came up with a makeshift deadline of the start of the season. So there's no real pressure on either side. This, what you're seeing right now, is a negotiating ploy. And it's Carr's agent. It's not Carr. I doubt he's frustrated. He understands how the business works. The agent is going to float this to Silver. Silver's going to report it. That's going to swing public opinion to Carr. Come on, Raiders, get the deal done. Sometime in the near future, you're probably going to see a report. Maybe it's with Reggie today with JT the Brick at 11:30. Where they say something like, you know, the demands are too high. Now that gives the Raiders position. The Raiders are now public with a position that, you know, Carr's maybe being too greedy. It goes back and forth. The bottom line is it's a bunch of pros here, and Reggie's done such a great job, and Carr's a smart enough guy that they're all going to realize we're not going to make this too contentious. It's not going to get ugly. We both want the same thing. We'll get something done as we get closer to the deadline. But this is the back and forth. This is negotiating. This is the strategy. If you're in Carr's camp, what you're pitching is Andrew Luck's deal plus a little bit more. Andrew Luck signed last year, 5 years, $123 million, $87 million guaranteed, $32 million signing bonus, an average of about $24.6 million per year. You're going to take that structure, you're going to add a little bit more to all those numbers because it's a year later, and you're going to go to the Raiders, and that's what you're going to pitch them. You're going to aim high knowing you're not going to get that number. It's going to have to come down a little bit. That's the back and forth of the negotiating. That's what they're going to sell you on. The Raiders are going to show you Andrew Luck's numbers. They're going to show you Derek Carr's numbers. They're going to show you all the good stuff and how they compare. Derek's better than Andrew here. Derek got his team to the playoffs last year. Andrew didn't. Derek was an MVP candidate last year. Andrew wasn't. Derek got hurt and the season fell apart. That's happened at times with Luck. That's why you paid him that much. You'll compare numbers and stats, and you're going to make the case that Carr is Luck, but better. And that's why he's deserving of Luck's contract plus more. On the flip side, the Raiders are going to come into this equation, and they're going to know that that's what's coming, and they're going to cut all those points down. They're going to say, well, Andrew Luck's been to more Pro Bowls. Andrew Luck's done this, this, and this. Andrew Luck has been to an AFC championship game. Andrew Luck has won playoff games. Derek hasn't. They might try to claim that Derek's injury at the end of the year shows that he's not 100% durable. And there's concern on their behalf that if they spend this much money, they might be investing in a quarterback who, unlike Brady, isn't necessarily an Iron Man. That's not to say it's true. This is just the negotiating. They're going to find a contract that's more to their liking. They might look in the Tannehill sphere And what I mean by that, or the Bradford sphere, that $18 to $20 million range where it's kind of pay as you go, a little bit more team friendly. Carr and the agent aren't going to want that, and they're going to have to concede something in order to get a more player-friendly deal. And it's going to go back and forth, and eventually you're going to get a deal. And I'm going to tell you right now, 5 years, $120 million, mark that down, and then when this is all said and done, come back to me and tell me what you think. 5 years, 123, 5 years, 125. Come back and tell me what you think. It's not, I don't need to be Nostradamus to figure this out. There's a blueprint for how this stuff works. The key for the Raiders is figuring how to make this work with Gabe Jackson and with Khalil Mack. And that's going to be another selling point. Well, Derek, we need you to be a team guy here because we've got, you want to keep Khalil, don't you? You want to keep Gabe, don't you? You wanted us to get Marshawn, didn't you? They're going to point to a lot of different pieces and say, we need you to be a little bit more team friendly. 5 years, 120 to 125. Mark that down. I'm sure I'll be close once we get to it.
I think you're right. And it hopefully gets done sooner rather than later, because this is the kind of story you don't want to have drag out. You already have the off-field distraction of Las Vegas and the gigantic question mark that sits out there in the desert. And players haven't even had to really address that yet, because this story, it happened after the offseason was over. The Raiders were long gone. So this is going to be offseason, or off-field, rather, distraction number one. You don't want the Carr contract to be number 1A.
Yeah.
Well, by the time this season starts, do you feel that Derek Carr, franchise quarterback, is under contract for the foreseeable future?
No.
You don't think a deal gets done? Really?
I think that Derek Carr has way more leverage than you guys are alluding to. Here's a couple facts. They're going to Vegas. They're going to pay him more than that, because he's just like, I mean more than this to the team. And here's the thing. Even if Reggie picked up the phone and said, hey, we heard you're frustrated. You know, hey, Reg, you know me. I want to get something done. I just want to play football. Take it up with my agent. And if he says those words, he's serious. Because he can't say, oh, you know what? Thank God, and I'm blessed, and I'm going to give you. He's not going to say that. The guy wants to get his, you know, he's going to get what it's deserving. And you got to realize, his agent can go in there and pitch, look, San Diego's not that far away. L.A.'s not that far away, meaning they went out and got a draft. They went out and got receivers. You already talked about this upcoming defense. They got a lot younger. They're addressing the offensive line. Here's a situation where this quarterback, Phillip Rivers, is getting ready to be on his own way out, and they can push. This guy doesn't have to leave California.
If I'm Derek Carr's agent, I hand Reggie McKenzie a piece of paper, and I say, go ahead and hand this to Mr. Davis and let us know what you think about our latest offer. And here's what's going to be on that piece of paper. The following names: Terrell Pryor, Matt McGloin, Matt Flynn, Carson Palmer, Jason Campbell, Kyle Bowler, Bruce Gradkowski, Jamarcus Russell, Charlie Fry, Andrew Walter, Dante Culpepper, Josh McCown, Aaron Brooks, Marcus Tuiasosopo, Kerry Collins, Rick Meyer. And I'll stop right there, right before you get back to Gannon. This has been your starting quarterback list up until our client. Let's go ahead and give him what he needs so we can move forward in peace. Joe Lo and Dibs, the D-Train, Dontrell Willis. He's up next, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.